epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with All Trails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for buy one, get one free on select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style.
Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson, and we are in Sunnyvale at Laughing Monk Brewing, and we are having a great time. Come by if you're down this way. We've had a bunch of listeners coming in and saying hello. We appreciate you all.
Hey.
And people starting to filter in, having lunch, and I'm looking at the menu, and I'm probably going to get something next break, but I don't know what because the menu has... a big, big variety, but I'm leaning toward the Cobb salad.
I mean, Cobb salad, they got different kinds of sandwiches, burgers, this really good-looking Angus beef patty called the West of 101. They got pizza that you can build, garden bowls, sandwiches. They got all down here at Laughing Monk, and, of course, a lot of different brews to select from as well.
Well, and that's, you know, Tim Jordan, our... producer extraordinaire down here on site.
He said he was the janitor.
Well, he handed me the cocktail menu, and Tim, it's 11:49. I mean, let's get to the PM hours first, right?
10 minutes.
Hey, you know how we're talking about Christian McCaffrey's workload a little bit, and I always think of Guru's phrase where he's like, sometimes you've got to protect a player from himself, and I'm just thinking about McCaffrey and Pearsall. That phrase doesn't really apply to Kyle Shanahan, I don't think. If there's one thing I seem to remember as being a theme of his over the course of his 7 or 8 years is, well, if a guy's out there, I got to use him. Meaning, he doesn't want to go into a game with, you know, the coaching staff saying, well, Christian's going to play, but we got to limit him to 12 carries a game. Or like, he hates that. Like, he can't stand that because then it limits what he can do. And I feel like the one thing that Shanahan's shown over the course of his tenure is if a guy's out there, he's going to use him however he sees fit without really considering a few weeks down the line. That's been his MO.
Well, I don't think it's just a Kyle Shanahan thing. I do think it's an NFL thing. I mean, that's why you don't really hear a whole lot about load management. But I also think that as the play caller, you have to figure out the best way to win, like to score points. And if running McCaffrey 25 times or getting him the ball 25 times is your path to victory, that may well be what you want to do, but if that's going to only allow Christian McCaffrey to play 13 games, then are you sacrificing four other bites at the apple? You know, that's where I think this becomes somewhat of a challenge for the 49ers. And do I want to put more pressure on a relatively young running back room? Do I want to put more pressure on my quarterback, specifically early in the season when he's probably not going to have two of his top four weapons on the outside? These are all things that Kyle Shanahan has to consider, and I also think that, too, you know, how this season plays out in regards to wins and losses may determine how much they try and chase midway later in the year. I don't think they have a bye week until, I don't know if it's week 12. It's very late this season. So unlike the last couple of years where we've seen bye weeks in week 5, we've seen them in week 8, you know, kind of spaced out in a good amount of way where you can sprint halfway then sprint the rest. You know, I don't know if Christian McCaffrey's going to make it to the bye week if you're giving him the ball 30 times.
Yeah, Brian Baldinger was on with the morning show earlier today, and they spent a lot of time talking about McCaffrey, obviously one of the most important players this year for the San Francisco 49ers. And they asked Brian Baldinger if he thought Christian McCaffrey was wearing down a little bit. In other words, is his career starting to catch up to him a little bit? Here's what Brian Baldinger said.
Christian has had, you know, his body has worn down. I mean, that's what all of that inflammation he had last year is a result of. Did he shake that all off? I mean, I don't know if you can lose a step, because we've seen Dalvin Cook lose a step and he wasn't very good, and he went to a couple different teams and he's out of the league. I mean, there's just so many hits that any of these guys have in them. And you just don't know when the drop-off is going to happen. Because I have a feeling it's going to be pretty severe. 50 carries isn't much of a sample. Let's see. I think we got to get into the season, Joe, before we realize what he is or what he isn't at this point.
That's the most alarming thing that I think I've heard a guy say about McCaffrey. And
how so?
The idea that... that when it happens fast. And I've always kind of believed that with certain players, that it does happen fast. And I got to believe with a running back, that's where, like, okay, I'm listening to Shasky and Spadoni this morning, and in the games last year that McCaffrey played, you know, I'm sure people, yeah, he's pretty good. But Shasky brought something up, and it's just the eye test, and I don't have the numbers to back it up, but it did feel like McCaffrey was getting brought down with the initial tackle more so than he had in previous years. It did feel like he was getting tackled earlier in a play than he had been, last year. You know, was that an effect of the injury? Was that, am I making too big of a deal out of that? Or this year he's going to be healthy and he can show that burst again and the ability to break tackles, especially the initial one.
I mean, in the Buffalo game in the snow, he looked pretty damn good.
He did.
And that was a game that Brock Purdy didn't play. So basically he was the only guy that Bills defense, which is a pretty good one, was game planning for, and the injury that he got hit by was kind of random. I mean, he got tackled by the shoestrings, went knee first, hurt the PCL, and basically his season was over at that point, because what else are you bringing him back for? You know, I think that the Buccaneers game is one maybe you look at and say he looked a tad slow, but at the same time, it was the first game of the season, and first game back off injury. So I can't completely hold that against him. I'm with Baldy that I think it does happen probably quicker for running backs than most positions, just because you're either the horse or you're not. Like when you're a wide receiver and you take a step back, well, maybe you're not a number one anymore, but you can still play out of the slot. We can still use potential skill sets. If you're a big player, you're a possession guy. There are different ways to use receivers when they take a step back. Deebo Samuel on line one. But when you're a running back, it's not like, okay, you're either the guy or you're not. And that's why he brought up Dalvin Cook, whose last Pro Bowl year was 2 years ago. And last year, he only played 8 games for the Cowboys, and he was a third stringer. So it can happen very fast. I just don't think we know enough about Christian McCaffrey yet to basically determine whether or not he's done. I don't think he is, but I think it's going to be hard for him to replicate a 2,000 scrimmage yard season where he's the unequivocal best running back in football. I think he's still a top 5 guy, and the question becomes then, well, is that good enough for this offense when you don't have a ton else around him like you did 2 years ago?
Yeah, that's what I think is the great question about this team, and that is, if McCaffrey's not the player he was 2 years ago, where does that leave the running game? If the wide receiver group isn't healthy at the start of the season and they're relying on Jennings to be their one and a second-year player, Pearsall, to be their two, what does that mean for the passing game? And it just feels like the 49ers could, you know, they're in that no man's land of the players that they have are still good, but maybe they're not at their peak. And if they're not at their peak, well, how good can they really be? Because when they were all at their peak, you know, they weren't able to win a Super Bowl. Now, they obviously were one of the top three or four teams in the league. But, you know, this is, to me, this is, I look at sports the way I kind of look at the Golden State Warriors. It's like they were a championship team 3 years ago. Steph Curry is now 92% of what he was 3 years ago, or 90%. Well, that matters. That could, you know, that's the difference between winning it all and maybe not getting to the Western Conference Finals. So that, like, that's what I want to see with the 49ers. No, they didn't win a title, but, you know, they're one of the best teams in football 2 or 3 years ago. Last year, they were a shell of themselves because of a lot of different factors. So what is this year about? This year is about, is Purdy the player he was 2 years ago? Is McCaffrey the player he was 2 years ago? Is Williams the player he was 2 years ago? Is Bosa the player he was 3 years ago? Can they all put together those kind of years from the heyday, even though the heyday was just 2 years ago?
Well, some of them maybe not. Others, you know, Purdy might get better. He's still in his mid-20s. Bosa's 27. I would hope that he'd be able to have and he was still pretty damn good last year, but would like him to be better, specifically in the sack totals. Fred Warner, he's in his late 20s, but has maintained a high level for a long time. Kittle's coming off back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. You know, the biggest difference between the Warriors and the Niners is the Niners look like they might have a future. The Warriors, meanwhile, do not. I mean, they're really all in on these next two seasons. And that's why, you know, as much as we've made it about McCaffrey and Purdy and Trent and the mainstays, the guys who were a member of the core that got you to overtime in the Super Bowl, this season is also as much about the guys we don't know about. You know, the 11-man rookie class. The rookie class from last year, which had a lot of guys that played and got valuable snaps. The Mustafas, who's supposed to be back midway through this year. You know, third-year guy like Jair Brown might have to play safety because we don't know who's going to be back there. A guy that has emerged as one of the top corners, I think, in the league, D'Amador Lenore. Now he gets paid. How does he perform? They still have players that are ascending as much as we're talking about some of the guys that are maybe most likely or realistically going to take a step back. So that's why I think the Niners are in an interesting place. They're not in a bad spot because I don't think they're on the decline. They're trying to figure out if they can jumpstart this thing again. And that's why, to me, this season is exciting. And I'm looking at it as one that could perhaps propel them back to being the number one team in the NFC West, or a season that tells us they got a lot of work to do. And now they have to figure out where to go from here.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports station and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Brewing Company here in Sunnyvale. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco, but we are in Sunnyvale at the Laughing Monk Brewing, having a great time. If you're down in the South Bay, come say hello. This is also going to be the site, Evan, of all your 49er pregame shows when they're at home.
Yes, yeah, Red and Gold pregame. Myself, Lorenzo, Neil are going to be here 2 hours, sometimes more, before kickoff for home games of the Niners. So come on down, grab a brew, grab one of their fantastic hors d'oeuvres and have an awesome time at an awesome place. One piece of information we do have to update people on, because joint practice is currently happening between the 49ers and the Broncos. This is from ESPN's Nick Wagner, who covers the 49ers. Defensive lineman Mykael Williams, shaken up during team drills, limped off favoring his left knee leg. So Williams hurt a bit. We found out that Brock Purdy has thrown a couple picks in practice. Early reports are that, shocker, the Broncos' defense looks better than the Niners' defense, which is completely reasonable.
Sure.
Because the Broncos' defense was a top unit last year, and the Niners' defense is full of a lot of young guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Don't you think it's kind of interesting, and not just throw this out at you. Our three Bay Area teams, pro teams.
Yeah,
don't you think it's fascinating that that right now, where we all are, we don't know what our cores are like. So you look at the Giants.
What are you talking about?
I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about. So you look at the Giants.
What are you talking about?
You look at the Giants, and they've got Devers, Adamus, Chapman, and I'll put Webb in there. Those are the core guys.
Let's ride.
But they're not. There's doubt about how good those guys are. Chapman, you know, Devers hasn't been great. Adamus has been better. Chapman has been okay. The Warriors, I don't know what to expect from Curry, Green, and Butler over the course of an entire season anymore. And it's the same to me with the Niners. These, you know, whether it's McCaffrey, Purdy, Kittle, Warner, Trent Williams. Now, you said something interesting. You said you don't think the 49ers are in decline.
Well, I mean, I guess we don't know, but I don't think they are.
Okay.
Well, how would you define a Super Bowl team?
Sure. But let's talk about it as though
like last year
they were 6-11.
Did they not get younger this offseason?
They did.
So that means, ideally, you have players that should be getting better.
But what about if the most important players on the team are the older guys? Like, that's what I kind of worry about.
Yeah, but we saw the result of that last year. If they go down, then they're cooked. But they also didn't have a ton of young dudes last year.
So you
they didn't have a ton of depth.
So you think they're more equipped now to deal with injury because they've got more playable bodies?
100%. I think if this season results in some of the injuries that happened last year, like Trent goes down, McCaffrey's unavailable, I don't think that they're a 6-win team. Now, they might be a 7 or an 8-win team, which is not that much better, but I think they have a much broader pool of young talent to choose from. And it, by all reports, it sounds like they got a couple of guys. You know, it sounds like the backups to some of the most important positions, and maybe even some of the dudes that are going to start, they have a higher floor, certainly a higher ceiling because of their age, than some of the players that had to start last year.
888-957-9570 is the number. 49ers are holding a joint practice right now at Levi Stadium with the Denver Broncos. And Evan just passed along that Mykael Williams was a little bit shaken up. He's the 49ers rookie and limped off the field, I guess, and we'll find out more about what happened with him. But let's get back a little bit to the one of the stars of the show, and that is Brock Purdy.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Baldinger was on with the morning show, and he was very, very comprehensive, and we kind of got into this a little earlier in the show, and I'd like to kind of get back into it. But this is Baldy's got a couple things to say about Brock Purdy. The first was on, it's a very simple question and one that we can ask 49er fans. What are your expectations for Brock Purdy? This is how Brian Baldinger answered earlier today.
It's just to be as consistent as possible. You go around this league right now and you talk to Lamar, Josh Allen, like they've got the MVPs. They've got the hardware from that, but they all want a Super Bowl. They got to play bigger and better in big games. And so really the question becomes, and it's like Joe Burrow as well. I mean, the question is, give your team a chance to win it all every year. That means to play at the highest and most elite level. That means making everybody else better around you. And how you do that is you convert your third downs. You finish in the red zone, in the end zone. Like those kind of things.
All right, what do you think of that?
I think that talking about Brock Purdy like he's Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, or Joe Burrow is foolish.
Yes.
Now I respect what Baldy's saying that those are those are the characteristics of the best quarterbacks. But who is saying that Brock Purdy is in their class? Like, is there anybody that expects it? And maybe I'm being too harsh on him. I don't think I am. That I don't expect him to play like one of those guys. I just don't. And if I'm crazy, please call in at 888-957-9570 and let me know why I am insane that I don't expect Brock Purdy to elevate his team like Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow.
Okay. Fair enough. My question, though, would be, I get the Bengals didn't make the playoffs last year, but they kind of got hot. Forget that he's in...
Joe Burrow led the league in passing, by the way.
Exactly. So, in other words, he wasn't really the reason that the Bengals didn't get to the playoffs. But when I look at those quarterbacks, without knowing anything about their rosters, I just feel like, yeah, Baltimore's going to be pretty good. Well, how do you know? Okay, Lamar Jackson. And they've got a coach who's been there for a while.
They have a great defense. They have a ton of depth.
Sure. But I think the quarterback, the Bengals, the Baltimore Ravens, the Buffalo Bills, obviously the Kansas City Chiefs. Who's the fifth guy that we always throw in there?
Josh Allen?
Josh Allen. Like, because don't you think the biggest reason that those teams are in it virtually every year is their quarterback? Or do you look at it in a much broader sense?
No, I mean, if you have a top three or four guy, and I think that's kind of where it stops. To me, number five is up for debate right now, but if you have one of the top four quarterbacks, I mean, it's safe to assume that you're going to be a playoff team. I think the Burrow thing last year was pretty insane. I mean, they had some incredible collapses, and they still damn near made the playoffs, having an absolutely paltry defense. So, I think that Cincinnati's going to be a playoff team this year because I'm assuming that Joe Burrow is going to play at a similar level to last year and really his entire career.
Yeah, I guess my question is if Josh Allen, like he's, I'm going to pull his football reference up. I'm sure he's made the playoffs 4 or 5 years in a row, something like that, or 5 of 6, whatever it is. I mean, if you're a 49er fan, do you feel like now that we're going to have Brock Purdy for 5 years, that you can pencil in kind of winning seasons year after year solely because of Purdy? Because what I'm hearing you say is, well, he's not one of those guys. But then what are his goals in alignment with the team? You know what I mean?
Well, it's to make the playoffs. But I think the Niners are a fringe playoff team. You know, so does he have to be the difference? Yeah, you'd like him to be. But again, we started this conversation by talking about pressure. And I hate to break it to people, but Brock Purdy is not going anywhere. If the Niners make the playoffs this year, he's not going to get another contract or be rewarded. And if he misses the playoffs, he's also not going to go anywhere. You know, that's just the reality. The Niners this summer chose to marry this guy who, to his credit, has statistically been the best quarterback in his division for his first three seasons that he has been at the helm for the Niners. Last year, he was not at his best. Neither were the 49ers. I think they believe he can get back to playing closer to 22 and 23 level football than 24 level football.
Yeah, I don't know if we're saying the same thing or not, but like you use the term, right now you think they're a fringe playoff team.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. I would look at it as, okay, they're a fringe playoff team. Well, it's up to Purdy to make them the playoff team. You know, like that's, I get it. I don't think he's the difference between 5-12 and 12-5. But if you're a fringe playoff team, then he's got to be the quarterback that gets them to the postseason.
Okay, so
maybe
what if
not by himself.
What if McCaffrey goes down midway through
the
year?
That changes the fact that they're a fringe playoff team. I'm just saying, if you think they're a fringe playoff team and they're relatively healthy, obviously if they get banged up again, you know, all bets are off. But we can get into this a little more on the other side.
Yeah, sorry, we got it.
888-957-9570 is the number. 49er fans, you're the ones that matter the most. What are your expectations for Brock Purdy? He's the $50 million man now, or at least next year. All right, 888-957-9570. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
And if I'm crazy, please call in at 888-957-9570 and let me know why I am insane.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson, and I forget, what were you referring to that you said where people might think you're crazy?
I mean, I kind of lose track of all my great takes.
But gotcha.
It's, you know, it's just one of those tiny, we're trying to get some interaction. And
gotcha.
Am I crazy that it might have been probably Purdy related?
It was.
I feel like you've been coming down my road a lot today about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, he's, you know, they can be 8-9. It's no reflection on him.
Like, I get you think that he's going to be Fran Tarkenton and he's just going to run around and guide this team to, you know, a 12-5 season. But to me, that's asking a lot of the young fella. By the way, contract doesn't kick until next year.
Yeah, and how'd that work out for Moody? Moses.
Which Moody?
Moses.
Yeah.
The more consistent of the Moody's, barely. Actually, both Moody's need to get
Jake's got a bigger leg than
together.
Moses, though. He's got more range.
Hey, you know, one of the things that I always enjoy is when we find out as fans that what we think we know nothing about. And here's the latest, and you're going to have to fill me in a little bit on this. You know, we talk about, and I wish Guru were here. He talks about
he's here in spirit.
He talks about pregame speeches.
Hey.
And he talks about the locker room and what coaches do to motivate and how Bob Melvin's got to get something out of Devers and we got to have a pep talk and what happens after a tough loss and, oh, boy, the Warriors are down 9.5. I'll bet Steve Kerr's chewing them out. It's nothing like that. Why don't you tell a little story about Damian Lee?
Oh, Damian Lee was on I think it was on Seth Curry's podcast. I forget which forum, but he basically confirmed what I think we all knew, which was during the time that Damian was on the Warriors, he would see Steph Curry during halftime go on his phone for 5 to 7 minutes of the 20-minute period and check what people were saying about him on Twitter. And sometimes it would spur a ridiculous second half. Sometimes it wouldn't. But how Steph Curry reads what people say about him.
At halftime.
At halftime.
At halftime.
In the locker room. In the locker room. Yeah.
So, and hey, I'm making no judgment. And, of course, no malice. There's no malice involved here. I just think it's funny.
Why?
Yeah, what do you do? What do you guys do at halftime? I mean, went on social media. What'd he do? Seeing what people are saying about him. It's like, really? That's what you're doing?
Huh? Well, he might be looking for some motivation because, you know, like against, I'm trying to think of a game this year where he had a slow first half, you know, 2-for-9, comes out in the second half and just absolutely annihilates his opponent. Maybe it's because he's reading that people were saying he was cooked on Twitter.
Yeah, maybe.
You think that's what they do in the NFL locker rooms?
Yes.
No, I don't think so. You know why? Because Matt Barrows wrote a story about what they do at halftime, and it's completely different.
It's exactly the same. They don't do anything.
No, they go to their respective.
They just go in.
They go to their respective coaches. They huddle around, and they game plan for the second half.
But there's no game plan.
Oh, they're much more buttoned up in the NFL.
The coaches meet. But for the first 10 minutes, they're just kind of going to the bathroom. They are the Theragun. That was a big part of the locker room. They're using the Theragun, especially McCaffrey. And
yeah, they're getting treatment. They're they might be grabbing more smelling salts for the second half.
Perhaps.
Just as long as they bring their own. Because, by the way, that's another signal that the NFL does not care about these players whatsoever. They build in a rule that you can't have ammonia packets or smelling salts. But there's a loophole. The teams can't provide them. If the players bring them themselves, which I can't imagine are hard to find, then it doesn't matter. So if George Kittle wants smelling salts, he can just bring smelling salts to the game. And the whole reason why they were going to ban them in the first place is because smelling salts and ammonia packets mask concussion symptoms.
Mm.
So the NFL can proclaim that they care about these players and mental injuries and CTE and all the rest, when really they don't. Because there's a loophole that allows any player that wants to actually use them, and most of them do, according to many people, Lorenzo Neal being one of them, and they can just wiggle around it. Like, yeah. The NFL's trying to appear as if they care about head injury when they don't give a crap as long as they're signing contracts with ESPN and NFL Network.
Oh, I think this is a clear-cut liability issue, and the NFL's handling it perfectly. Let's talk about a player, let's say, like Lawrence Taylor. Okay, Lawrence Taylor would have his own kind of pregame routine when he was with the Giants.
Sure.
Clearly those were in his possession, and that's how he got up for a game. Now, you can't expect the New York Giants to supply Lawrence Taylor with the things he needed to prepare for a game. So I look at it as, these players just extra motivated and they're doing things on their own, which is admirable.
Yeah, but they didn't make a rule that said, well, the Giants can't give Lawrence Taylor X of whatever he's using, but as long as he brings it, well, then it's fine. Why even have the rule in the first place when
unspoken.
You really don't care about it?
Well, it's unspoken.
NFL stands for not for long.
It's understood, though.
What?
Whatever you're talking about. Let's go to Tom. Tom's in El Dorado. Hey, Tom. How you doing, man?
Hey. Good. How you guys doing?
Doing well.
As far as the Niners, I think John Lynch and Coach Shanahan have watched so much film. They are completely comfortable with Purdy, but I'm concerned about, does he have anyone to throw to? Broke my heart to hear about Deebo Samuel leading, and if last year the leading receiver was George Kittle, a tight end, what do we have for him to throw to?
I think it's a fair question. I think it's a real fair question, and that's going to be a big part of the early season story. And if I know what's going to happen, if Purdy doesn't look good, people are going to criticize him because, well, look what happens when you don't have an all-star team around you.
And that's kind of going to be the end of the train. Like, I know he's going to, like, there's pressure in the court of public opinion, but there's no pressure from a standpoint of who's the future quarterback of the 49ers. And that's I'm trying to say is that if we're talking about pressure, I agree with your opening statement that the most pressured position right now on the Niners is probably the kicker, because he's going to lose his job if he doesn't kick very well in the first three games of the season. Might there be pressure on other big boys? Maybe Ben Bartsch, who's the leader in the clubhouse for the left guard position, because he's been battling for that spot. Perhaps the third cornerback position, which looks like it's going to be a rookie, but they also brought in Trey Brown from Seattle. Like, that's where, to me, there's pressure to perform at those spots, because those guys could lose their jobs. Jake Moody could be off this team if he doesn't hit kicks early in the year, because it's a get-it-done type of business. There's no pressure on Brock Purdy's position, and as much as I do think that a lot of people are making Mac Jones to be a better backup than surely Brandon Allen, he ain't taking Brock Purdy's job.
You wouldn't think so.
Well, unless he gets hurt.
Right. Brian Baldinger was on with the morning show. He's our Odyssey NFL insider. And he was talking about Brock Purdy. And Brock Purdy got that big contract in the offseason. It kicks in next year. And he was asked during the morning show what he expects out of Brock Purdy now that he's under contract for a ton of money.
you look at the years that some of these guys had last year. Baker Mayfield had one of the top 10 seasons of all time. 41 touchdowns over 4,500 yards. Only 9 other quarterbacks in the history have done it. But he didn't win a Super Bowl. He got beat in the playoffs. All right, he fumbled a snap in the fourth quarter, you know, against the Rams, and didn't get that opportunity. But for Brock at this point, he's paid to be in that same company of all the guys I just mentioned, okay? Burrow, Josh, Lamar, obviously Patrick is Patrick, but he's paid to be in that category. They paid Trevor Lawrence to be in that category. He hasn't done it yet. The evolution is to be in that top echelon of quarterbacks every year and giving your team a chance to win every year and to go in and to get to the playoffs every year. That's what he's paid to do, and that's the evolution. That's what the expectations are.
And you think that's a little unfair?
There are 11 quarterbacks that make the kind of money that Brock Purdy does. Not all of them are going to be in the playoffs. Some of them are, some years. You know, to me, I think that Brock Purdy is a good to very good quarterback. I do not believe that he is a great quarterback. But that's the going rate for good quarterbacks or very good quarterbacks. You know, I know most people probably agree with Baldy, but if the Niners don't make the playoffs this year, I don't think it's going to be because of Brock Purdy. I think honestly, Steiny, that's the reason why they paid him, because he's somebody that keeps you at a high floor, and then the rest of the roster is what's going to determine your ceiling. You know, you need someone that's going to represent your franchise in a professional manner, someone that's going to keep you competitive. But I guess I don't look at Brock Purdy like that. You know, and it might be a low bar, but I'm looking at the quarterbacks around him, even the quarterbacks that are in the high 40s. Like, if you extrapolate it to $45 million quarterbacks, well, then there's 15 of those dudes. Are all of them paid to have their team in the playoffs and keep their team competitive year in and year out? Yes. Can all of them do it? No.
Yeah, no, I get that. Like, the way I look at it is maybe a chicken and an egg type of thing. And if, let's say, over the next 3 years, if the 49ers win 33 regular season games, they average 11 wins a year for the next 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
To me, like, then he will have done his job. You know, then we're still not going to say he's Lamar Jackson. But at least at that point, or at that point, we say Purdy's good enough that every single year this team is going to be in the mix. It's not solely because of him, but he's proven that he can get us to 11 wins, get us into the playoffs, and a few years back he went to a Super Bowl and all those things. So I do think, and I think it's more important for Purdy that the team wins than those other guys, because even if those other teams, like Burrow last year didn't make the playoffs, but nobody's blaming Burrow in Cincinnati. So that's why I think I'll acknowledge Purdy's not in the class of those other quarterbacks, but if he's the quarterback of the 49ers as they're a perennial playoff team year in and year out, then that's what he needs to do.
But it sounds like all he has to do is win or lose games. It doesn't matter how he does it.
I kind of think that's true.
I'm not judging a quarterback just on wins. I'm just not. Like, and that's why I understand your point about Burrow. But Burrow was literally the best passer in the league. Okay, I don't think Brock Purdy can put up the type of numbers that Joe Burrow does. But if you're, like, Brock Purdy last year was tops in the NFC West in terms of quarterback rating and QBR. Slightly different stats. However, like, he's top 7 in both. So that's still really good. But if your team is decimated, then yeah, like, you're not going to be a playoff team. Well, is that completely on him?
Well, no. And I, you know, I should have made a stipulation for injury, obviously. And maybe that's what you're getting at right now, is that for the first 3 or 4 games, chances are he's not going to have great receivers. And I get that. Okay, I'm not asking you to go 4-0. Can you go 2-2 with those? And then as you start to get guys back, you become better. And it, at the end of the season, you look, and you're 11-6. Purdy is going to, like, if you go 11-6, I guarantee you, maybe the numbers won't wow you, but if they go 11-6, that means Purdy probably had a pretty good year.
Or maybe it means your defense is a lot better than you thought it was. Maybe Jake Moody is hitting some game-winning kicks and bailing you out. Maybe the other teams you're playing are fumbling at wrong times. Like, there's so much that happens over the course of a season which is not dependent on the quarterback. And I realize that in the NFL, it's all about QBs. What have you done for me lately? Wins and losses are on their resume, and that's all that we judge those guys by. But to me, Steiny, like, I think that Brock Purdy is just as good of a quarterback as Jared Goff. Jared Goff was on a 14-win team last year because they ran the hell out of the football. Their defense was decimated by injury, but their offense was prolific. I think that he's just as good, and maybe in many people's minds, Jalen Hurts separated himself from Purdy. I think Purdy could have quarterbacked that Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts didn't do much. He made one throw to A.J. Brown and let his defensive line absolutely eviscerate the Kansas City Chiefs. My point is, there are other quarterbacks around this league that I think Brock Purdy is similar than, but their teams are in far better positions, and that's what this season to me is trying to figure out. How good are the Niners around Brock Purdy? I think I know what he is. He ain't a top five dude, but he's a guy that can keep you competitive. And the rest of the team, if they're decimated by injury, if their young players aren't very good, this season isn't going to go very well. That's why last year we're looking at a 6-11 season. Like, where does the majority of last year's blame fall to you for last year's season? Like, do you put it on Brock? Because it feels like a lot of people want to.
I would put it on. I wouldn't put it all on injury. I would put it on. I think what we saw last year was almost inevitable, but it's something that I think we had to account for. And I know Guru downplays this, you know, and he'll say, "Well, how does losing a Super Bowl mean that Trent Williams is missing a block in week 7 last year?" But I do think when you look at the previous 2 years with the Niners and how both those seasons ended, particularly 2 years ago, not last year, but 2 years ago, I know it's easy to say now, but I think last year at this time, and maybe in the months or two preceding now, I think we almost should have known that it was going to be an uphill battle, because it's just hard to stay on top for 3 straight years when you've suffered a disappointing loss at the end of each of those 2 previous seasons. Like, it, I really do think they got to training camp last year, and it just felt like, oh my God, the Super Bowl is 7 months away. We just lost in it. How are we going to get there? Like, it's such a long journey to get there again that it just, I don't want to say it was overwhelming, but it was just too much to overcome.
I do agree with you, but I also, okay, so what happened to the Philadelphia Eagles? They went through the same exact circumstances as the Niners. They made the Super Bowl. The year before that, they were in the playoffs. The Super Bowl, they lost, I mean, to the Chiefs. The year after they made the Super Bowl, they stumbled, but they made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They got ran out in the first game they played, and they bounced back and won a Super Bowl. The difference is Jalen Hurts had a far more talented cast around him to rely on. He just did. His offensive line that they brought back after the Super Bowl was better. His weapons were better. They had better health. Their defense was more talented and did not break down. This is before they got Saquon, by the way. And they won a lot of close games in which they made some plays and stumbled into the playoffs. But, like, the reason why the Niners went from a Super Bowl runner-up to a 6-win football team, to me, is for a variety of reasons. And Brock Purdy is certainly a part of it. But I can't look at him and say, all right, well, you're a six-win quarterback now. I mean, he is paid like a top 10 QB right now. That doesn't mean he's going to be a top three quarterback.
No.
And if he's number 10 and the rest of his team around him drops like flies or isn't very good or is full of a bunch of rookies that don't perform well in their first season, because that's typically what happens in the NFL, a number 10 quarterback might not make the postseason.
My question to you is, and I know it's a hypothetical, but okay, Brock Purdy was healthy for most of last year. He didn't have as many healthy teammates. They had adversity. Clearly, there was some stuff going on in the locker room, family-wise, with Trent Williams and with Tre'Davious Ward. Do you think forget if they play the same style or a different style, but the four quarterbacks we named, Allen, Burrow, Lamar Jackson, and whoever the fifth one is, Mahomes,
yeah.
Do you think the 49ers are significantly better if they would have had one of those guys last year, given all that happened?
Significantly better?
Yeah, okay. Would the 49ers have been a playoff team last year with Burrow, Allen, Mahomes, or Lamar Jackson?
Let me just double check where the last playoff team was in the NFC.
Okay. I think it was 10.
So 10 wins. So is Lamar Jackson worth 4 wins?
Last year. It would have to be last year.
Last year. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I wonder.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't either. I'm just.
I think Josh Allen, he's a league MVP. Like, yeah, I think he's worth 4 more wins. You know, that might be the gap. Without a good team, you know what I mean? Like, and by the way, Josh Allen's defense last year was still pretty damn good. They allowed, I believe, the fifth fewest amount of points in the AFC. Yeah, he's the engine that makes that offense go. You know, Brock Purdy needs more help. Like, I hate to break it to you, he just does. Maybe again, and this, well, actually, this is probably where the cut came from. Like, if I'm insane, please call in and tell me why. If I don't think that Brock Purdy is able to extract the same out of a lesser roster than Josh Allen. You know what I mean?
I mean,
and this is what we're going to be talking about all season. Like, how are you judging Purdy? By the way, I'm not robbing him of the opportunity to be better and help this team win more games. I'm just looking at a team with a ton of question marks, particularly on defense, and I'm recognizing that that's a major component in the 49ers' success.
No doubt. But I do think we're smart enough to distinguish how responsible Purdy will be if the 49ers go 13-4 as opposed to if they go 7-10.
Like, if they go 8-9 this year,
okay.
I don't think I'm going to be burying him at the end of the year.
Okay, well, that's where I have to say we got to see how it all comes down.
Oh, yeah, that's
true. You know, I mean, but if... To me, if they go 8-9, I don't think we're going to be sitting here saying, boy, Purdy was terrible this year.
Well, what if Purdy puts him in positions to win a couple games and Jake Moody stinks, misses a couple game-winning kicks? What if Ricky Pearsall, who's effectively in his rookie season because he didn't get to play a whole lot last year because he got shot before the year, drops a couple of important passes in key spots? You know, maybe McCaffrey has taken a step back. Maybe your backup running back who has to come in and maybe puts the ball on the ground. You know, like, there's so many other factors at play here. And sure, like, Purdy might throw a pick in the fourth quarter and it costs you. But if all, I do not think with what I've seen from Brock Purdy through three seasons that he is going to be the reason that this season goes completely off the rails.
Okay, and if I agree with you up to a point there, I think on the other side, I want to get into Kyle Shanahan and kind of using that same template of how much Purdy's play dictates whether the Niners win or lose, and how much Shanahan's coaching dictates the same. 888-957-9570 is the number. That segment was brought to you by Cars for Kids. That's Cars with a K.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for buy one, get one free on select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.